From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready back with you after a one-day hiatus for National Signing Day, at least the traditional National Signing Day yesterday. Ole Miss completes its class. I think it adds 7 guys to the class, if I have that right, yesterday. As of this morning, number 25 nationally did finish the day with a top 25 class. I assume that most people a couple months ago when things were hovering around 75th, 80th in the country would have taken a top 25 class. Kind of the thing here that we'll discuss a little bit. We've got a soft verbal coming later today. That'll be more of the recruiting area of the MPW Digital Podcast Week.
Probably won't be published until early Friday, just FYI.
Yeah, that's exactly probably when it will be published. But nonetheless, we'll talk a lot of recruiting on there. Jeffrey Wright joining us today, as always. Jeffrey with the Super Bowl thoughts, NFL thoughts, Memphis basketball thoughts, and something else that I talked about when we first started talking to him, and now I don't remember. So, signing day. It was
a little signing day.
Yeah,
really delved into recruiting, got in depth on analyzing who did well.
Deep dive would be
a deep dive. If you're a recruit, Nick, you'll love it because we really got into it.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking here. So, Jeffrey, in a bit, a couple things to hit on. First, we'll tell you that the podcast is brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford, Blue Sky, Craticle, and the Oxford Exxon, the presenting sponsors of the FCA event on campus, the annual breakfast, February 24th. It is featuring Evan Engram, New York Giants tight end, former Ole Miss All-American. He's the special guest. So you can get your tickets there at the Ole Miss FCA website. And have a good day on campus. Ole Miss baseball at home later in the day as well. So check those things out online and head on over for that February 24th event. And again, to get here, you probably need a vehicle. Clark Ford would be a good spot for that.
It would be a good place to go get one. It's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900. You call that number. You ask for Corey Clark at Clark Ford. You tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes and business hours. It's really that simple. It's right to the bottom line. It's no haggle. And then it's up to you. You get your quote. Shop it around if you like. Or you can let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many other podcast listeners. And that's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. Like I said, nice and easy. You get a great vehicle, get a great service after the sale, everything you could possibly want in a vehicle. You get it at Clark Ford, and we'll make it even better. Tell Corey at the end of the deal, hey, I heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. You can mention any of our family of podcasts, $500 off the bottom line from Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900.
So, again, Ole Miss finishes 25. We'll have more on that on the soft verbal. Yesterday, not a good close day for Ole Miss. I think it's pretty
never is.
It's going to take some little understanding of the class as a whole to realize it was not a bomb going off. They've got to do better next year. It's not going to win championships, but it's a class that holds things together to get to next season, especially when you consider they did get their quarterback probably of the future in Matt Corral in this class. That was I kind of said it jokingly yesterday, but I think some people kind of needed to hear it. The December kids counted too. It wasn't just February.
Not true.
December kids didn't count.
They don't count.
The ones already on campus aren't actually in the signing class.
They don't actually play.
Okay. Only the February kids play.
Yep.
Signing day pretty calm nationally. We had as Jeffrey and I were talking about a little bit with Neil. The mother walked off after the kid picked Florida. Had another kid commit with a Chucky doll at the table. That's starting to kind of freaking me out a little bit.
Thought he was committing to the Raiders.
Ooh,
that would have made more sense.
It's goals one day, Neil. You set goals, you hope to achieve them.
Hopes to play for the Raiders.
Yeah, hopes to play for Gruden down the road.
Yeah.
Or he just bought it maybe when he thought it was going to be Tennessee's coach and just brought it to the table
now
anyway since he had purchased it.
That's interesting.
He already had it anyway, so why not? We typically don't get into too much politics on this podcast. We frankly try to avoid it whenever humanly possible. However, a little bit of intersection today as Ross Bjork and Jeffrey Vitter both having to spend time on a bit of legislation that has come across the Mississippi House to this point. Jeffrey Vitter, 5:42 yesterday afternoon, says on Twitter, I urge our state leaders and legislators to consider the negative implications of HB 1083 across our university campuses. My full statement, when I go to that full statement, Jeffrey Vitter, and in totality, says 2 years ago, the institutions of higher learning implemented a comprehensive policy to keep our campuses safe. The policy allows for universities to prohibit guns in specific non-public campus areas. Early today, the Mississippi House of Representatives approved House Bill 1083, which, if passed by the Senate and signed into law, would override the IHL policy and our university-specific policies. It would put our campus community, law enforcement, and first responders at great risk by allowing weapons in sensitive places such as classrooms, hospitals, clinics, and athletic and performance venues. The Internal Association of Camp, blah, 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 blah. It goes on and on and on. Anyway, he's reached out to, last week, the University of Mississippi hosted Greg Sankey on our Oxford campus for a series of meetings. We discussed concerns about the safety and financial risk of allowing guns on university campuses, including potential loss of home sporting events and negative impact upon recruiting. He's attached a letter from Sankey to this documentation, and again, urging the legislators to rethink this policy is what it's doing. I had the actual law up earlier, and now I'm trying to find it again. It is allowing those with, let's see, HB 1083, I have it here. In summary, an act to amend Section 9737.7 to authorize any person who has an enhanced firearms license, which I believe means they've gone through classes. There's like an 8-hour class that you go through to learn about how to handle the handgun. I believe that's what it's referring to, an enhanced firearms license to carry such firearms on public property is the summary of the amendment.
We've been doing this podcast for how long?
Daily since about 2012.
I've been consistent on this. I'm not anti-gun. I'm for people's right to bear arms. Mm-hmm. I'm not a gun person. I'll freely tell you, I don't possess a gun. I don't want to possess a gun. I don't plan to ever possess a gun. I don't understand in any world why, and I'm not referring to uniformed police officers, but yeah, I don't understand.
Not the game warden at Outback.
I don't understand why people need guns in hospitals. I don't understand why anyone would be for bringing a gun to a basketball or football game. I don't know why that's necessary, not counting the uniformed police officers who are there to keep the peace. I don't understand. And admittedly, I'm not a gun person, but I also wonder at some point, are the people in the legislature saying, hey, what can we do today to hurt the state more? Let's do that. Because that thing that we did last time to hurt the state, that's kind of people forgotten about it. Let's do something fresh and clean to hurt the state more, to drive more jobs the hell out of here. Let's make it harder on the people that are trying to bring business to the state.
I'm trying to even come up with really what the other side of it is, and I'm assuming it has to do with.
Yeah, no, I took the easy side of this debate.
Yeah, with protection, or which is another argument in anyway, or basically in their mind seeing it as restrictive to the carry laws that I have in a warped way. I think that's probably the argument at least being made.
They're making the slippery slope argument that if you take that away, what's next? See, you're taking my guns.
But here's where Sankey and Vitter and all those guys are right. This is 100%, and I checked that this morning. There's SEC rules about this sort of thing. This overrides them. Government rules, I believe, are going to override SEC rules about firearms. So if this passes, I think that if someone with that enhanced carry, which now brings a whole other argument of Cobra Security having to decipher between enhanced carry and other type of things to get into the stadium.
And the 95% of those people are not going to do that.
Having a complete understanding both. They won't have any understanding either direction of that.
They're not going to do that.
But someone licensed appropriately would have at least the permission to bring firearms into alcohol-induced emotional sporting events.
And I don't know anything about how you become an enhanced license.
I think it's a class. I think it's a class.
So you just have to go take a little class somewhere?
I think it's an eight-hour class.
Local community college?
I have no idea. Well, no. I mean like a one-day, eight-hour deal, I think.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. That's my guess.
You give up a Saturday and you get your license, and now you can carry a gun into the hospital in the football game. Makes sense. I just say it's stupid. Not be the politically correct like Vitter and Bjork are having to be, and I'll just say this is remarkably stupid.
The things that Ross has to deal with on a day-to-day that shouldn't have anything to do with his job or title.
No. He's got stuff going on.
Well, I mean, Vitter too.
They got stuff to do.
Yeah, we always kind of talk about things that Vitter's done in the past. This time, he's exactly right, and it's probably not something he woke up yesterday morning going, "Let's debate gun laws today."
Well, Ross probably will say that he didn't think this, but you have to think that he said, "Are you effing kidding me? I've got to deal with this." Well, the commissioner of the league says we really don't want guns at your stadium. You ever been to an SEC game, Chase?
Yeah.
Things get a little crazy sometimes. People get a little worked up. People get a little liquor in them, you know. They go to the Grove or the Quad or the wherever and, you know, maybe have one bourbon too many and then go stand in a hot stadium and they thought their team was going to win and their team starts losing and there's some drunk guy behind them screaming stuff about their team. You don't want those people armed.
Concealed carry with enhanced permit means those who under – this is coming from a Clarion Ledger story in 2016. Those who undergo 8 hours of certified training can receive an endorsement on their concealed carry permit that allows them to carry in most places otherwise restricted. But enhanced permit still cannot carry in and then a lot of places that we're discussing about taking off the list right now. There's a big list, but this would be things removed from that list is my understanding. I think you still couldn't take them into jails or active courtrooms.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Probably good that Michigan didn't have that law in effect here in the last few weeks.
Yeah. And why are we going to make the law enforcement's job harder? It's hard enough.
Yeah, it's an eight-hour class by a nationally certified firearms trainer. That's what it is.
Watch a couple of videos.
I don't know.
Hear a little lecture.
I don't know.
Get your license.
Do you make money? Does the state make money from the classes so this makes more people have a desire to get the classes done?
Oh, I'm sure they're not free.
Just a thought.
You know what else brings money to the state?
Hey, if somebody can have an articulate discussion on why this makes tons of sense, call us. I'd love to have the debate. So,
you know what else brings money to the state? Jobs.
Yeah.
Common sense. You know, I mean.
You all right over there?
I'm fine. I've been here. I got this. Well, you're not from here. I've lived here for the majority of my life. I do have some stake in it. Sometimes just be sensible.
Yeah, this is nonsensical.
I've told you all along, man, if someone will ever start the common sense party, I'm in.
Because you're already a little jittery at games anyway.
Yeah, it's a damn terrorist target.
Yeah.
Target.
Yeah.
Hey, I tell you what let's do. Let's put 92,000 people in one place. It's on TV, too. You don't think that's a terrorist target? Every time you walk into one. So now we're going to bring people with, and I can hear the people now, well, I could fight the terrorist easier if I had my gun.
It's true.
That got said somewhere in podcast land.
You'd rather have a gun than not have a gun when the terrorist came, wouldn't you?
No, so stupid.
See, you'd rather fight a terrorist without a gun than with a gun? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, I want to do it with my bare hands. I want to feel the thrill.
Hit him with your laptop. So.
Damn right. Hit him with my laptop.
I mean,
I've been working.
I mean, all jokes aside, I mean, we're gonna move off this in a second. call me whatever. I would be more uncomfortable had I knew there were handguns in the press box.
I don't call you anything. It's smart.
I would be more uncomfortable.
I don't want to be around emotional people. If here are my choices. Neil, you get to be around a group of emotional people. They can either be armed or unarmed. Your pick. I'll take the unarmed, thank you.
There seems to be some common sense involved with this, doesn't there?
I've been to SEC football games. And we can be a minute late. It'll be okay. I've been to SEC football games. The people in the stadium, for the most part, are great people.
Yeah, of course.
But there are people at the stadium who this game means more to them than it should. And in that moment, in the passion of the moment when they don't have perspective and they have alcohol, they don't need a gun.
And there's a drunk dude or 10 in the stands.
Yeah. I mean, the cop that's standing there, he might be emotionally invested in the football game, but I'm going to go out on a limb and guess he's not drunk. So I don't need the guy drunk with a gun, pissed off at a call, and the guy behind him going, "Florida sucks!" And he's all Florida, and in that moment he wants to turn around. And, no! That's not... Can you imagine? It only takes one time for it to happen for people to go, "Whoa, wait, what happened?" It was a shooting. A man was shot dead at Vaught-Hemingway Stadium Saturday. No, it's just dumb. It's dumb.
So it's still got to pass a couple other things. Still got to be signed into law. It's not done today, but who knows? It's possible they have some amendments to still eliminate stadiums and venues. Don't know.
The stuff that the taxpayer dollars goes to pay these legislators to debate these stupid things.
Yeah.
When in reality, what they need to be doing is working on spending all of their time on infrastructure, jobs, you know, stuff.
Some education here or there.
Yeah, maybe figure out a way to increase the education. You know, I'm just thinking out loud. Quality of life. Spend 2 days debating whether or not we can work out an amendment to keep the guns out of the stadium, but in the hospitals.
Podcast brought to you in part by Tyson Drugs, TysonDrugs.com. That was probably in some hospitals as well. Get sildenafil. Been telling you about that for a long time. Also a...
Speaking of loaded guns.
Also, an alternative for women experiencing some of the same issues as well. 662-252-2321. Remember, it's only $10 a pill as opposed to 50 or 60 from those other guys. And you can fill out the form. Don't have to talk to somebody. They're at TysonDrugs.com. Same people also now on G&M Pharmacy in Oxford. They deliver local and give you great local service. So, again, TysonDrugs.com.
The podcast is also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide. OUB offers all the technology and products you want, all with the personal touch. OUB is offering one-year CDs at 1.75% annual percentage yield, three-year triple option CDs paying 2.01% APY. With the three-year term, customers can deposit once during the term, withdraw once during the term, and or bump the rate if OUB's three-year rate rises. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. Podcast is also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Great lease deals. Go in, test drive one today. Tell Gene and Sandy that you heard about Grenada Nissan on the podcast or at rebelgrove.com, and you'll be glad you did. You'll get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. And the podcast is brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based RE/MAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market in Oxford better than Harry. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. It's harryalexander.com. Click on the properties and neighborhoods tab. Filter through by what you are looking for, and then send him an email. It's ha@harryalexander.com.
Now, Jeffrey Wright on the Oxford Exxon podcast, remember Locker Room Holla. Jeffrey, good to talk to you on this Thursday morning. I'm sure, again, as a national signing day came and went, you really enjoyed not having to even really pay attention to it yesterday, right?
Oh, man, you have no idea. I was asking this question yesterday to other people. It's like, did National Signing Day seem less as intense, less big, like to everyone else, or is it just me because I don't have to deal with it? I remember one year only getting like 2 hours of sleep and wanting to kill myself.
I think it felt to me like it's like you take a holiday and divide it in half. You know, it's just half a day. Like the people it felt like there was a lot of people trying to manufacture the old National Signing Day feeling on National Signing Day after you already did most of National Signing Day a month and a half earlier.
Well, yeah, and to me, I think the other aspect of it is I think we realized we jumped the shark on National Signing Day. You know what I mean? Like we'd gone too far. And I'm not just saying we, like the business, but like the hoopla, the everything, like.
Yes.
I just think like, inevitably there's always kind of an overcorrection. And I think we've now started to do it. I'm not saying that it's not a big deal and that recruiting doesn't matter. As you and I know, it's basically the only thing that matters, particularly in college football. But I think the attention that we paid to it has kind of had its correction, and we're back to kind of what it should be.
You think there's finally sanity involved to some level?
No, there's not sanity in the actual recruiting, but I do think there's sanity in the interest.
I think that maybe. I don't know. I mean, I didn't even pay attention yesterday. Did ESPNU or whatever do wall-to-wall coverage, or did they chill it out a little?
Not like it used to be.
Okay.
It was not the 24 hours. I mean, they had a program running on ESPNU, but you got to have programming all day. Like,
right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And it definitely was, you know, I mean, I remember years where they were slapping it on ESPN, like the actual, like the network, like not just ESPNU. Like they were like, I did not notice the wall to wall and, hey, we're going to break in every single 6 seconds to find out where someone was going. Like, I just didn't notice that.
Only had the one kid, what was his name, Copeland? The one kid that did the...
hero.
He announced for Florida.
I know, real talk. Who... Because I saw someone put on Twitter, I bet his mom knew. It was his mother. And I'm sitting there thinking, I bet his mom didn't know.
If she knew, she needs to be in acting. Because she didn't... act like she knew.
There was no question. All right, so this is the question of the day. Was Mama upset because Mama cut her deal, and she thought she had handled it at the end, or did our kid go into business for himself?
You don't think the mother was just worried about the national education rankings and different things of the Gators versus the Volunteers or the Tide?
But wait, she had on an Alabama sweatshirt and a Tennessee hat, or vice versa. She had both covered.
Well, yeah, she had two deals cut. It was good either way. Tide, Volunteers.
Through it.
Yeah, come on.
Y'all don't think maybe a father figure who was not in his life for a long time came in at the last minute and cut a deal, do you?
Oh, come on. That would be the first time we've seen that happen.
Never seen that. No, sir.
That's Kyle Madden doing these days.
I hope the kid went into business. I hope that's what happened. I hope the kid went into business for himself.
Playing for the Raptors,
and
I think.
Because that's exactly what I want to happen. Like, screw all them. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah.
What I loved was they had the video of Mullen and them down in Gainesville, and they're watching it, and they see the mom walk off, and they're trying to act like they didn't see it.
Oh, I loved it. Yeah,
it was
that was
fantastic.
Great.
It was so awkward. Watching awkward Dan Mullen was great.
Was it Hootie Jones' mom that got all pissed a few years ago? Do what, Jeffrey?
Uncomfortable Dan Mullen's about as good as it gets.
It really is, because he's uncomfortable, and he does the fake smiley thing, and he overreacts to the uncomfort, and it's great.
Well, it is nice to see. It's like last night. I was covering the Grizzlies and the Jazz, and Ricky Rubio was largely doing to Andrew Harrison what had been done to him his whole career. After Andrew Harrison would give up the basketball as the point guard, and he would just go and, like, you know, run the offense as a quote unquote shooter, Ricky Rubio just stopped guarding him. And so Ricky Rubio was paying it backwards, because that was largely what was done to Rubio his whole career, because he couldn't shoot. And then last night he drops 30. But it's the same thing with Dan Mullen. Dan Mullen has spent his entire career making other people uncomfortable. It is really nice to watch when it happens to him.
At the risk of getting yelled at by subscribers and podcast listeners, curious, did you talk to any Utah people about what they're doing at the deadline today?
Did not. The thing I was chasing last night, trying to figure out if it had any legitimacy at all, was there was the rumor running that because of the Lou Williams deal, that Tyreek would be interested in signing a mid-level extension. And I'm just sitting there going, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard, because it doesn't matter. Like, tell him, it's all you're doing is making him a promise. Make him the same promise and say, trade him anyway.
Yeah, and then go get a second round pick and don't win games.
Right.
It's bizarre. I mean, they want a first round. No one's going to give up. I say this, and someone will do it in 3 hours. No one's going to – Danny Ainge is not trading a first-round pick for Tyreek Evans to borrow him for half a year.
The thing that's driven me insane is part of Tyreek's value, it's not the first-round pick that you're not going to get. It's not having him on the floor. And if you don't trade him, you can't just sit him anymore. Like, you know what I mean? Like, in the people that don't understand that there is more value – to the Grizzlies losing games this season than there is to their winning games, I have no time for them.
Yeah, the only person
you literally cannot put two and two together.
The only person who can be justified for wanting the Grizzlies to win is Bickerstaff.
That's it, and that's why I said take the interim tag off of him.
And let him get all in on the tanking. Yeah.
Yes.
Because right now he's trying to win games.
Doing too good of a job. They're playing hard.
Well, he's a good coach.
Like, that's my point. Like, stop.
All right, I was just curious on the NBA thing, because I know there's two Jazz guys that the Thunder are supposedly involved in right now, Rodney Hood and Alec Burke. I don't think either one's going to happen, but I was curious.
I did not hear anything. I did see a Jazz TV reporter that slid onto like a, you don't want to say it's like a countertop, but so there are two media sections at FedEx Forum. You have the floor section, which is for the papers of record and whatnot, and then everybody else goes up.
They still in existence, papers?
Allegedly.
Okay.
They're in existence online. And then we have the auxiliary area, which is where everyone else goes. And the auxiliary area is at the club level behind one of the baskets, and it's right in front of the tap room. And there are two rows. There are two rows that are like split, you know, like split with stairs. So it's like split deck. And you have a table like right in front of you that's, you know, probably 2.5 feet in width. And you just sit in like a roller chair. And I saw a Salt Lake TV guy that tried to get a nice shot of himself, like, sitting on the 2.5 foot wide, like, table, and with his back to the basket, really making sure he got that stand up looking too good. It was fascinating to watch. It took him 3.5 minutes, and I was rooting for him to fall down the entire time.
He probably went to the same school as those TCU people in 14 at the Peach Bowl that decided to do their live show from the row behind us while we were trying to work in the press box in Atlanta.
Those guys were special because they didn't understand how microphones worked. Those guys were impressive because are here live at the Georgia Dome where TCU. It's like, hey, buddy, that's why you have microphones. Like, you don't have to yell.
What a day for the Horned Frogs. Really an arrival on the national scene.
This was when I turned around and looked. He goes, I'm sorry. I go, stop talking that loud. I literally at one point was just like, and this guy was, these guys were huge. They could have beaten the absolute shit out of me. But I was so, like, it was so annoying. Like, the fact, what have we done to create a society where no one gives a damn about anyone else, like, around? Like, the idea that you focus zero on anyone else that you are inconveniencing blows my mind.
That was the same day that I'd gone after Pat Forty on Twitter and gotten shut down by Yahoo with, please leave Pat alone. You've hurt his feelings.
Oh,
that was a fun day.
That's what everyone cares about.
That was a fun day.
I love when Pat goes, you know, big bad Pat Forty goes and tells the teacher.
Well, he goes, mind your beat. And it's like, well, that is on my beat.
And I had a legitimate question. I mean, he's like, they have to take Wallace out. And I said, to put who in? I mean, that's the question here, Pat. I mean, you're doing a national hot take. Who exactly? Because at some point, I mean, the way this works, and I'm no football expert, but typically when you take one quarterback out, now, I'm sure there are exceptions to this rule. You must put someone else in at that position.
And my favorite on that game was offensive genius Hugh Freeze trying to install Baylor's offense in 8 days.
8 days in Atlanta when the team's out drinking. Yeah, that typically didn't work.
Apparently, I talked to one guy, and he said they got a play in from the sideline, and no one knew what they were doing. But, hey, he's an offensive genius.
Never know what else was going on in Atlanta now that you have some hindsight.
You think? Not just the players, by the way.
No, exactly. Man, my shoulders are sore.
All right, we hadn't talked yet. Did you have a good time watching the game Sunday night? Your boy Nick Foles taking care of business?
I mean, you have to give him credit. The dude was money. Like,
he was excellent.
Like, you look at, like, his third down numbers, like, he was 12 of 15 for, like, 171 yards. And of his 12 completions, 10 were for first downs and the other two were for touchdowns. Like, he was awesome on third down. And then the other, I think one of the incompletions resulted in a punt and the other two incompletions resulted in fourth downs that he converted. I mean, the guy was just absolute nails all night. And the funniest thing to watch was his best throws were the toughest throws. Like, when he had guys wide open, those were when he was making, like, his poorest throws. But if he had, like, four guys draped on a receiver, he was throwing it 1 foot windows and just absolutely just, I mean, he was just money all night. And so I thought the biggest issue of the whole game was you saw even at the NFL level, the line of scrimmage matters. The Eagles were running it for, you know, darn near 7 yards a carry. They were Nick Foles. I believe the Patriots, I think if I have the numbers right, the Patriots blitzed Foles 13 times. They did not have a single sack. And of the 13 blitzes, they only got pressure on him 5 times. So they were bringing pressure and getting blocked. And to me, like, that just shows, even at the NFL level, the line of scrimmage is really where the games are still won and lost.
What'd you make of this Josh McDaniels thing?
First off, Greg Doyle.
He was very understated in his column a couple days ago.
So amazing. Reading Greg Doyle's two columns alone was worth the whole deal. What I made of it that I did not realize, and I knew it happens occasionally in college football, but did y'all know that general managers have agents in the NFL?
I don't guess I really have thought about it, but I would have guessed for the most part no if you'd have made me guess.
That's what I would have thought too. Like, but the idea that Chris Ballard – it is essentially like it is nice to see, even at the NFL level, still how incestuous football is. Like, football only has one speed, and it's it's incest. And you sit there and you realize, like, that deal is cut between an agent. It was McDaniels and Ballard shared the same agent, and the agent said, I'm going to make this happen. And, like, to me, like, if I'm a franchise, that's just not a good look. And I understand that Chris Ballard has a pretty good reputation as a roster builder, but, you know, when you're basically saying, I don't trust myself to make this hire, and I'm going to have my agent do it for me, I just think that's a horrible look.
See, Chase and I talked about this a little bit yesterday. It's one or both of two things, in my opinion. Either the Patriots finally came to the table with McDaniel and said, look, this deal with Kraft and Belichick's not going to last long. You're going to be the guy, and you're going to be the guy sooner rather than later. Or they got a look at Andrew Luck's medicals. McDaniel did at his people and just said, uh-uh.
Yeah, and to me, or possible other deal, maybe they couldn't get a look at Luck's medicals.
And that would be the same thing. If you said, hey, we want to see the medicals. No, we can't. You know, there's HIPAA rules.
Right.
And you're like, dude, I've got to know what I'm working with here. And they're like, well, no. You just come on. We'll take care of it when you get here. And he said, no, I'm toast.
I mean, I'm with you, but my whole deal is, if I'm Josh McDaniels, and I don't, you know, I think McDaniels is what, 41,
something like that. I mean, he's still a young guy.
41. I'm not even convinced that he got assurance that Belichick, you know, that this is coming to an end. I just think he's sitting there going, Jim Irsay is historically not a great guy to work for. This roster is really bad. The Krafts are about to pay me like a head coach to be an offensive coordinator. I don't get a win-loss record. And I'm still going to be in the AFC East versus being in the AFC South, where, you know, you would expect the Texans with Deshaun Watson returning, you'd expect them to be more than competent. The Jaguars have shown that they have a really good football roster. The Titans made the playoffs. And, like, I just, you know, and he's sitting there going, I got a quarterback who has already had major shoulder surgery. It was so bad that they sent him to Europe to do the experimental surgery. So, you know, I just think at the end of the day, he got cold feet and goes, man, do I really want to do this?
And it also sounds like there's a little bit of PR going on with Luck right now, because the San Diego Union Tribune says that he's about to start a throwing program. However, multiple people have said that, you know, last year he started the program, never got to full speed, and the estimate is that it takes at least 90 days of a throwing program to have any idea whether you actually can throw a football at an NFL level again. So we're three months away from having an idea of what he might be this season.
Like, I just think that all of those elements combined, I don't even think that you even necessarily had to get the guarantee that you're going to be the Patriots coach. I think it just got to the point where he's like, man, do I really want to do this? And I was never convinced that he wanted to do it to begin with, because the Colts wanted him right off the bat, and he's the one that called for the second interview because he still was kind of on the fence about it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a copycat league, as you said. What does the league as a whole take from Philly winning the title?
The pass rush is still all that matters. I mean, think about it. Think about how they gave up, I think they gave up 505 through the air. And, you know, you see what the league really comes down to. It comes down to forcing turnovers, you know, the strip fumble. I mean, it's basically you just give up a bunch of yards. And then I think the other thing that you realize is, I think Chase has made this point before. You probably are always better off going with the offensive head coach for one reason. When you find an offensive guy, you don't have to worry about having to find another offensive guy if he's your head coach, because you just keep rolling. Whereas now, you know, the hot young offensive coordinator or whoever the hot offensive coordinator is, he's getting head job. And so if you're always constantly having to replace your offensive guy, I think that that is a much more difficult transition than it is to replace a defensive guy, because the hottest defensive coordinators are not always moving up. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, Sean McVay is getting a job at 31, but whoever the, you know, Patricia is not an old man, but, you know, it took Patricia probably, you know, a decade to maybe a decade and a half longer than it took Josh McDaniel or than it took Sean McVay. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
As a head coach, Patricia, a little more GQ. Beard was a little tighter, a little less grizzly.
I call that Detroit chic.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right.
He's got a little grizzled look, but that suit was looking too good.
Yeah.
Got the beard trimmed up just like so. Still, is he the gold standard for pencil in the ear right now?
Oh, there's no doubt.
Like, he is. Like, it is. I don't even care that, like, he's the fat guy. Like, he looks cool with his pencil in his ear.
You're upset they didn't hire him, aren't you?
Kind of. Even though, yeah, I just laid out the exact reasoning. Like, I don't. I'd be curious to know. Like, I don't know. I was a Patricia guy.
Okay.
It also, I think it's maybe less that. If the reports are true that, and again, I don't know which way it went, one way or the other. But to think that Matt Patricia said, nah, I'd rather have the Lions than the Giants job, that was really the disheartening factor. And
makes sense on some levels.
Necessarily. It's not just, I would rather have the Lions job over the Giants job. It's, I'd rather have the Lions job. And I go, yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of jobs, I know you got to go. The Tubby Smith hire has been a disaster at Memphis. It's not getting any better. It's not going to get better.
Have you not seen Tennessee in year three has made great strides? That's what Memphis is going to do.
Bruce Pearl's good in year five. It just takes some time, Jeffrey.
Right, totally.
Are they going to move on? And if they do, and here's the better part of the question, because we're getting ready to start having this conversation even more. It's going to be nauseating. If they do, is the Memphis job still a good job?
Yes, I still think the Memphis job is a good job. I'll explain that momentarily. I ask you this question. Are we saying in their next six games, according to KenPom, their next five. They already lost to Wichita State. So they could lose their next five, which would mean they would end this more or less in the season losing. I think that would now be... that'd be 10 out of their last 14 in the American. If that happens, I think if it gets like that bad, I think there's a chance they move on. But like, even say like they go like 2-4, you know, they beat UCF or they beat South Florida, they beat East Carolina at home. I just think that the money is not there for them to fire him, even though they've got the stipulation in the contract that allows them to spread out the money over twice the length of the contract. And so instead of like having to owe it, you know, in a normal buyout, if you have 5 years left, you know, you owe the money in that time frame. Memphis structured the deal to where if there are 3 years left on the deal, they'd have 6 years to pay it. And everyone that I talk to that understands how money works on these things says that he's getting the third year just from that perspective.
That's fascinating, because they're just going to bomb out. They're going to be awful.
Well, I mean, you know, when people try to make the Rick Barnes comparison, okay, well, Rick had a five-star in there, and then Rick had, you know, he sprinkled in two classes, he sprinkled in seven kids, only one of which was ranked outside of the top 150. I mean, like, he was putting... Were these elite level guys? No, but they were good, solid players. And now we're seeing what's happening. Memphis has one recruit right now, Connor Vanover, who Ole Miss, what, Neil, a year and a half ago said, thanks, but no thanks?
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, he's ranked like 330th in the nation. Like, that's their one signee. Like, it's not getting better. Like,
No, it's not going to get better.
They're holding out hope for Tyler Harris, who is a very good scorer, but he's a 5'10 point guard. And he's not even ranked inside the top 100. And I like the kid, and I think the kid's a good player. But now, because recruiting is going so poorly, let's say that Tyler Harris does indeed sign with Memphis. He now has unrealistic expectations because he's considered like some type of savior, when in reality, in the last decade, you know, he's not even one of the top 15 to 20 guys that they've signed.
Yeah, a mess there all the way around. All right, 10 seconds, Jeffrey, and I got to go. Can our boy win at Pebble this week?
My boy?
Yeah, that's what I meant. I picked him, though, so he's my boy today, too.
Yeah, absolutely. He's playing solid golf, dude.
Yeah, no doubt. Just curious. All right.
Are we referencing Rory?
Rory is the reference. Talk to you soon.
My boy.
Yeah, sorry. I apologize.
Thank you.
Have a good show.
Same to you.
All right, bye. Thanks to Jeffrey for joining us today on the show that is brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, DeSoto County, and Chattanooga, all underwriting and processing. Because in Memphis, you're getting local underwriting that understands your market. Also, a leader in condo financing, and you get the float down option, which allows you to lock in the rate. But if rates go down before you close, you get that lower rate. 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
Everybody knows State Farm for being the number one insurer in auto, home, and life insurance. But did you know State Farm has a bank which allows them to do auto financing? Recently, State Farm has had a rate reduction in their commercial insurance rates. So give Romero Miller State Farm a chance to compare your business insurance policies. If you own a rental property, for example, he challenges you to give him a shot at that. You won't be sorry. Go to Google, enter Romero Miller State Farm in the little search engine thingy, and then read the reviews, and you'll understand that if you have insurance needs in Mississippi or Tennessee, you need to take your business to Romero Miller State Farm, 662-893-1212. The podcast also brought to you by Gambrell and Associates. Gambrell and Associates have three attorneys with more than 60 years of combined experience, more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website, msbnkr.com, or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Superlawyers only selects the top 5% of lawyers in the state. Gambrell and Associates handles Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or in Oxford, 662-281-8800. And Rebel Nation, 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories and recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com and updated often, so be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com. Ole Miss softball opens today, I believe. Women's basketball is in town on Sunday. Men's basketball back in town on Tuesday against Arkansas. And the rumor is Ole Miss baseball is right around the corner. That season begins a week from tomorrow, which is almost impossible to believe, but it does.
Jeez.
Tickets for all of these things available at OleMissTix.com. That's OleMissTix.com.
Yeah, Ole Miss softball is at the Sand Dollar Classic that is in Gulf Shores, Louisiana, Alabama. Opponents include Virginia Tech, Florida A&M, Lamar, Lipscomb, and Penn State. The opponents there. So an ACC team, a Big Ten team, and then three others in the field with the Rebels.
Lamar. Lamar's a blast from the past. I used to see Lamar all the time because I grew up in a Southland Conference town at the time.
It's true.
Saw Lamar all the time. North Texas, Texas Arlington, Northwestern State.
The Rebels coming off their super regional appearance. They are ranked 14th nationally to begin the season. They have 13 letter winners returning from that 2017 season.
Including Caitlin Lee.
Including Kate. You got her name this time.
Look at me.
So, also got a homecoming for three Rebels who are natives of the Yellowhammer State, as I'm glancing at the notes there. Those notes provided by Ole Miss Media Relations, by the way, for the Rebel Grovers out there.
I was going to say, I didn't think you would be able to pull Yellowhammer State right off the top of your head.
I knew that.
Did you?
Yeah, come on.
Okay.
That I at least got. Rammer Jammer, Yellowhammer, give them
hell, Alabama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is a really loud cheer when they're filling the stadium up, though. I will say that. That is one of the louder ones when the game is ending. So anyway, yeah, baseball starting. You know, Lipscomb, they're the ones that drive me nuts because they're the Bisons with the S.
Yeah, and that's just wrong.
It's on the front of their uniforms.
That's like
Bisons.
The grammatical mistake that drives me the craziest is lose. Oh, it just kills me.
That doesn't happen that often.
It doesn't, but when it does, it just sticks out. It's like flashing, and it drives me crazy.
What's the one you make mistakes on that then you hate yourself just because you were kind of in a hurry and didn't really notice it?
Sometimes with compound subjects where it's wordy,
mm-hmm.
I'll mess up the is, are.
Oh, do you?
And I'll just hate myself. I will lose sleep over it. Drives me crazy.
Does it really?
Yes. I and me, I'll mess that up occasionally, not often. I'll correct people on it, and then I get mad at myself for correcting them. I grew up in a home now. My parents, between the two of them, essentially have 5 degrees in English.
So they were pretty...
My mother would correct grammar, and I don't think she did it to be obnoxious. I think she did it because she was correcting the grammar. And so now people go, grammar police. It's like, yeah, but get it right. The one that's so bad now that it's almost become excusable to people, and I don't think it should be, is your.
That one's overlooked because it happens so often now.
See?
Yeah.
It's almost become allowed. But that's your and... Y-O-U apostrophe R-E are not the same thing, and they're not interchangeable. They're not.
What is language in 50 years? The English language.
Emojis.
Wait, what does it look like?
I don't know.
Is there a reversal at some point? A correction?
I hope so.
Kind of wonder, though, don't you?
You do. I'll say this. We make our kids write thank you notes.
Yeah.
And when you get a thank you note, like we had the Oxford High School had their winter formal a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
Whatever. And we had.
What was it called?
I think it was called the winter formal.
Oh, okay. Good marketing director.
Yeah.
Concise, to the point.
College football playoff. What's it called? The college football playoff. it works. anyway, we had a bunch of kids from Campbell's grade, juniors, mm-hmm. here for dinner and stuff. Laura and I cooked them dinner and all that stuff before they went out and did whatever. And a handful of them have written thank you notes. And the ones that did, I mean, it was like... two things you can tell that they had to work on their cursive because that's not taught anymore, but they took the time to write, and it's just, you're just impressed by it. And it used to be something that you'd see all the time. And remember how you used to write thank you notes and stuff? Now people just drop a text or an email or something.
To two things. First, I don't write in cursive ever. I don't do it. I mean, if it's not my signature, nothing is in cursive for me at all.
A lot of young people don't even have signatures.
Well, now that's a little whatever, but no,
it's true though.
My normal writing is in print. I'm a terrible writer. I have no penmanship whatsoever. My signature looks the same every time, but my penmanship is awful.
My penmanship used to be excellent, and now it's very shaky.
So the second thing is, this is really good for everybody listening that has the kids and has the kids because no, true. The bar is falling so far that when you just do the little things, it looks like you go out of your mind.
The kids who simply wrote a little
thank you note.
Now I'm so impressed with them. Like their stature in my mind.
The bar for society has lowered, which allows you to be higher just by doing the normal nice things.
Yes, that was no question.
It's a good thing.
It is.
Work kind of hard, and suddenly, oh my God, that's a go-getter. Nobody else doing it.
Yeah.
Write a thank you note. I'll tell you, I know my penmanship is bad, so when I write thank you notes, it almost kind of stresses me because I need it to be legible, and then I might get in a hurry at some point and misspell a word, and I've got to throw that one away and start over. You have no idea how much stationery I go through.
And that's frustrating.
I'll misspell words or something because I'll rush. And I do it on checks we interchange all the time because I'll like be writing my credit or something, and I'll, for some reason, I don't know why I do it, I'll leave out an A or something in the name and then go, shit. And I can have to
start over.
Yeah. So I throw away more stationery than you would believe when I'm going through stuff. But nonetheless, yeah, write thank you notes. That maybe the top advice for anything on just small thing that makes a huge difference.
Yes.
Don't really need to write a letter anymore, but just a thank you note. I guess you can write a letter if you want, but
yeah, no, it means something to people. It makes you memorable. Derek Jeter, he was right. Send a basket.
Sort of the same thing. Your kids have stationery?
Yes and no.
Okay. Not like.
No, we got it. Campbell's going to have to get on that because when you take trips or when someone writes
you starting to get older,
a sorority rec or any of those kind of things, you've got to turn around.
There's an age where you need it.
Yeah, and she's there.
Yeah, that's fair.
Can you believe Campbell's 17 in May? 17.
Is that the one that's making you feel a little old?
Yeah, we're going to go look at colleges.
See, that's what's funny about it is.
So now, like, not to interrupt you.
Yeah, no, you're
but
good.
But now when I get to the gym, like yesterday, I've been working out at Hot Works lately.
You have?
Highly recommend it, by the way, except don't come during my time and eat up my spots. But I was in the hot ISO, which is like a 30-minute deal, and it's a lot of like you hold a pose for 2.5 minutes, which is harder than you think it is. Anyway, now I'm like these college girls are in there, and the conversation, if I have one with them, is more along the lines of, how did you pick Ole Miss? What were you looking for? How do you like it? Stuff like that. It's all about me getting myself educated as much as I can as a dad for a college kid. Does that make sense?
No, I understand. You're using it as a little bit of studying, a little preparation.
Yeah, which is, I know they're thinking, here's the creepy old man in here with me, and now he's asking me questions. Oh, he's got a daughter close to my age. He's harmless. And then they start talking.
It's like when you're on flight, you always try to look as unassuming as possible to the college kid that's fairly skinny so you don't get the fat guy next to you.
Yeah.
I am harmless.
Yeah, oh, I actively recruit.
Eyes, hey.
I'm wearing headphones. I will not talk to you. Please sit here because you're small. I will leave you alone. Oh, there's two of you to fill up this row? Sure. You want the window or the aisle? Because I don't care. I just want room.
Now, see, I need a window. I'm weird about that.
You would prefer the window to the aisle?
Oh, no doubt.
Really?
I can't stand the cart next to me, even though it's just for a few seconds during the hour flight.
Really?
Can't stand people walking by me in traffic and the cart. No, hate it. I want, because I'm short, so I don't need a ton of leg room and stuff.
Right.
Get me by the window where I can put my head against it and have a barrier. I like
kind of have your little zone.
Yeah. It's like in the press box at baseball, like when I did credentials, I requested the same exact seat I always have. I need a corner where
Always over in that little corner.
I'm front left in my corner. I need my corner. And now look, it's a pain to get out sometimes because I'm having to go behind chairs and stuff, but I don't want the aisle. I want it to be where I can smudge all my stuff up against the wall and be in my little pocket over there and leave me alone.
Yeah. That's good.
Just saying.
Are you getting your seat again this year?
I mean, I hope.
Because it's a new SID guy.
It is. Third one in 4 years, I think. Something like that.
One of these days, you're going to have a hard time breaking one of them in.
Yeah. I asked for the same seat. We'll see what happens next Friday if my seat is where it needs to be.
Will you go early? And if it's not where it's supposed to be, you'll switch it?
Oh, I'll move them, yeah. Yeah, there's no doubt. I'll if I get there and I look at somebody like,
So first pitch is like at 3, and on this day you're going like at noon, just to be safe.
I mean, I don't know that I'll do a Parrish Alford thing. I mean, he might still beat me, but I mean, because Parrish will read half a novel while we're sitting there in the pregame. Yeah. But
Parrish works for those of you who don't know, covers Ole Miss for the Daily Journal in Tupelo, and if Ole Miss's kickoff is at 11, Parrish will be at the stadium no later than 7 a.m. We're like scrambling to get there at 10:30, and Parrish has been there for long enough to have read.
I mean, credit to him. I mean,
oh yeah, I'm not making fun. I mean, he's organized.
Yeah. But no, I will certainly move nameplates. There's no doubt about that, and put a little pressure on whoever's in my spot that I believe shouldn't be there.
I got middle of the aisle in basketball, yeah. And I can't stand it.
No, you're surrounded.
I'm trapped. Yeah, want to be on an edge.
You know, football's become a little more cumbersome because they took out our middle exit. In the old press box, yeah. You could exit out of the middle of the row.
Get up and out.
And now it's all the way on the ends on both sides. So we're kind of scrunched a little bit. The seat's good, but I'm on like the 48. But the seat's scrunched a little. So
yeah, we have a good spot.
Yeah.
But
I know all of you care. So now that we've gone through that, appreciate it. I want to ask you this. We're going to go to Ben Brown in a minute from Journey Biz Solutions to end the podcast today. Listen to him. Check him out because I think that he helps you understand something that he can help business owners with as you listen to this and you take heed of the sponsors and supporters that we have on the podcast.
Yeah, helped some businesses that have listened to the podcast. So, yeah, if you take a listen to about 5-6 minutes.
Yeah, something.
Take
like
a listen, and if you think it might apply to you, get in touch with Ben. Check it out. Not gonna.
So I had
5 minutes out of your day.
I had somebody yesterday who has some knowledge of college basketball. Maybe not to the level of Chris Dorch or somebody, but connected to a certain extent.
Okay.
Told me that not necessarily that it has an impact on Ole Miss whether they do or do not make a change, but just college basketball landscape. Like yesterday, a couple of the coaches involved in this FBI probe had court dates scheduled for a year from now. It's going to be a drawn out process like crazy.
Yeah. Kind of like the Rebel Rags thing. It's going to go on forever.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, point being, this person told me that they expect as many as 6 or 7 SEC openings in the offseason.
Are you serious?
That's what I was told.
Now, I've been told from someone, I'll go ahead and say it out loud.
Yeah.
Someone with a high level of knowledge of college basketball says Bruce Pearl will not survive the offseason.
Mm-hmm. So let's say Bruce and Andy are two.
And I think at this moment, Andy Kennedy is
they said, I was told yesterday could be as many as 6 or 7. Potentially most of them involved with this FBI thing.
Really?
Said it's got another shot left.
Here's what's interesting. So I was talking on Sunday to someone really connected with college basketball, very connected. And he said, here's what's interesting about college basketball right now. He goes, and when I say right now, I mean literally right now. Because I'm not talking about some trend. This FBI thing has scared everyone straight. There's less cheating right now, today, and this is a new thing, than there's ever been. Because guys don't know who's being watched. Basically said it's one of the reasons Kentucky's not recruiting at a really high level.
Duke still is.
Duke is.
I mean, the kids still got to go somewhere. I mean, you know.
There's cachet when playing for Mike Krzyzewski. And he's got a really good, I mean, so does Kentucky, a really good NBA presence. I mean, you look on watching NBA games, hard to find a game that doesn't have a Kentucky player.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a credit to them. I mean, but it's interesting. It could potentially impact decisions for sure. And if you're right, I mean, I'm sitting here in my mind going 6 or 7 openings, and I start thinking, what openings would that be? I mean, Alabama got named in this, but kind of cleared. Colin Sexton's playing. Man, I don't know.
Beats me, but
there's a feeling inside the coaching business, and I think it's more fear-based than anything, bless you, that March is going to bring more another charges. Round of this. And if it does, if you're in a hypothetical world, let's keep this real right now. This is where this is headed. If you're Ross Bjork and you're conducting a coaching search, I mean, that's one of the things you've got to evaluate. Is there any chance at all that this person is going to get wrapped up in this FBI thing? and you're not going to be able to call the FBI and ask. You're not going to be able to make that call. So, I mean, you've got to really do your research.
I've got a coaching search going on. Director, can you fill me in on...
Excuse me. Agent Smith, we're possibly looking at hiring a basketball coach. I was wondering, I'm looking at this coach at X State University.
What's the odds that he's about to go serve 8 to 12 in Sing Sing next year? I'm just curious.
You guys got anything on him? I don't know, but it is. Listen, it's a factor.
All right, let's close here before we go to Ben in a second. Before we do that, I tell you, podcast brought to you in part by Master Cuts Lawn and Landscape, 662-607-7773, mastercutslawn.com. You know, if you mention the podcast, sign an annual contract. First cut is free. They do tons more than that. They build things. I got several people from the site getting pergolas and fences and different things built with Master Cuts. They do power wash. They do a lot of things that you maybe wouldn't expect from a lawn and landscape company. So give them a call. Check out all their services, 662-607-7773. Buy or sell this hot take, Neil. Yesterday was a clear sign of it. We've said this before, and I don't want to say thorn off the rose, anything like that, but whatever extent it is, the first signs of the end of the Alabama complete dominance, they finished the day still top 10, but number 7 nationally after getting 5 or 6 number 1 classes in a row. They lose out to Georgia, Miami, Penn State, Texas, Ohio State, SC, and Clemson right behind them, which, frankly, I'm a little surprised Clemson's not higher than that, but they have fewer commits. Clemson only was 17, so they have two more commits than two fewer commits than Alabama. Is that saying something? They did not be able to. They were not able to again push Georgia for the top overall recruiting title.
It sounds crazy saying this when Alabama just beat Georgia for the national championship, but it certainly feels like there's a shift at the very top of the league. It certainly feels like right now Georgia is the sexiest program in the league. Georgia's the hottest program in the league. And I know that sounds crazy. Alabama's won 5 of the last 9 titles. I think people are using Saban's age against him, and maybe for the very first time with the most elite recruits, it's starting to play a factor.
Do you?
Just a little. I mean, you couched it the right way. Look, finishing 7th in the country is...
It's not the end of the program.
I mean, if I told Ole Miss fans right now today, hey, next year you're number 7,
done.
I would hear champagne corks popping.
Yeah, done.
And frankly, Ole Miss needs to finish about 7th next year.
The over-under for Ole Miss next year, where you're out, really 10 months out because it's a December thing now.
Yeah. And Matt told me yesterday, because I thought I kind of heard him say I'd like to get it all done. And I said, did I hear you correctly in saying you'd like to get it all done in December? And he said, well, that's probably not realistic, but yes.
Over under for Ole Miss success failure next year, my opinion.
Okay.
Is 11th nationally.
I wouldn't argue that.
Top 10 is a win.
Yeah, like I wrote yesterday.
Anything less than 10th, even 12th, 13th, I think is a slight failure next year.
I wrote yesterday, you can read it at rebelgrove.com.
The number 10 team this year was Florida State. They signed 1 5-star, 14 4-stars, 6 3-stars, and had an average star ranking of 3.76.
Solid class.
Yeah, good class.
That's about what you need. You're going to lose some stars next year at Ole Miss. You're going to lose Greg Little. Probably going to lose A.J. Brown. Maybe you lose DK Metcalf. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
As I wrote, you have to replace stars with stars in this league. This is not a league that is won by pedestrians.
No.
You and I were talking about this yesterday. It's kind of when you look at recruiting rankings, and it's tempting for people to say recruiting rankings are meaningless. No, they're not. They're not. I mean, I don't say that as a guy that works for Rivals. I mean, I said that before I worked for Rivals. It does tell you like how good of a job a guy like Pat Fitzgerald does at Northwestern.
Gary Patterson at TCU.
Yeah, those are two great examples. And then, as you said yesterday, I don't want to steal your thunder because it's your point. I think you might be onto something. Best coach, best football coach in the country. Not person.
Oh, not person.
Football coach.
Not at the best job.
In terms of where he is and the results he produces, Chase said, James Franklin's the best coach in the country. And I initially said, yeah, you're right. And then as I thought about it all night, I thought, he's right. Who's the best ROI, given what they have and what they produce, who does a better job?
Dabo probably is right there if you told me he's one.
Well, Dabo's certainly in the mix for all of it, yeah. And this isn't taking anything away from Saban or Meyer or anybody like that, but, I mean, you know.
Today, if I was hiring a football coach and they said you get anybody you want and it doesn't matter how much slime is on your shoulder when you do it, I'd hire James Franklin.
Would you really?
Today.
Over Dabo.
It'd be rich. Again, it depends. If I was at all worried about slime, no, Dabo's clearly the best choice.
No, we're not worried about slime.
If I'm only worried about you have to win football games, yeah, James Franklin. Hiring James Franklin. That's what I want.
Let me ask this. If you could hire any football coach in the world living, you have to have a pulse.
Okay.
To run your college program, NFL guys included. The only stipulation is they must have a pulse. Who do you hire?
The NFL thing scares me to death because it's such different games.
Yeah,
that
sure.
I don't really take those guys, I don't think, for the most part. I mean, I'm trying to think, has there been somebody jump that's in the NFL now that was great in college and I'm just not thinking of? I mean,
Pete Carroll was great.
But too old now.
Okay.
I'm not interested.
Okay.
I'm sticking with college guys for the most part. There's more of an unknown for me with that NFL guy coming down. And they go, hey, you got to do some chicken circuit. You got to have to recruit. You got to do this. You got to do that. I don't know.
So who you hiring?
I'm sticking with my guys. Sticking with Dabo and James.
You're going to interview Dabo and James and hire one of them?
I think so. I mean, I'm thinking about it. I mean, you know, Sean Payton calls me. I want to have the conversation, clearly.
Well, he was the guy that was in the back of my mind.
Yeah. Oh, he could do it. I think that's one guy that would recruit down and do a really good job. I think Doug Peterson would be a guy that would do a really good job.
The power of a Super Bowl. Before, in September, no one would have said, you would have never named Doug Peterson in that competition. Yeah, sure, he won.
He's done it. And done it. And see, here's the deal. He did it by having to adapt to his talent in a different way. I mean, with Foles, they go to more RPOs. They do these things.
Changed their offense in December.
They did so many different things where I go, hey, that guy can move around a little bit. He can do some things that fit the college level really well.
Sure.
So that's one that would stick out in my head a little bit. You know, you got to see what he does this year. I mean, obviously, Chip Kelly would be in any conversation, I think.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah. The next tier would be Chris Peterson and some of those guys, but.
Yeah. A lot of people in football circles tell you he's the best coach in the country.
And maybe he is.
And he might be. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, we've never dealt with him in our league.
Right.
So it's harder to get a read sometimes on.
His point about the Pac-12 plays those games that nobody sees.
Very fair.
He's right.
Oh, very
fair. He's obnoxious about it, but it doesn't change the fact that he's accurate.
I mean, Sean McVay would be a hell of a college football coach. That actually might be who I hire now that I'm talking.
Wow, yeah.
Sean McVay would be a one hell of a college football coach.
I'd have to interview him.
Still really young. Frankly, young where he probably couldn't have gotten a college job yet.
Looks the part, dates a supermodel.
He's the NFL Lane Kiffin.
Well, he's Lane Kiffin without baggage.
That's what I'm saying.
But see, here's where I was going to go here.
Uh-huh.
No slime.
Yeah, you're not worried about slime. You're just coaching a football team.
I might hire Lane Kiffin.
Sean McVay's the guy you hire if you're worried about slime, and you get anybody in the world.
Yeah.
Sean McVay's your hire.
No, I don't have to worry about stuff. I'm thinking about Lane Kiffin. I meant that column when I wrote it in January. It wasn't a knock on Matt Luke.
I'm gonna name James Franklin my head coach. Lane Kiffin's gonna be my OC. I'm gonna put this staff together now. Here we go.
If I can have Lane Kiffin as my OC and I don't have to worry about slime, I'm in.
Oh gosh.
Basketball, who's the one guy? I know my answer on this. I know I watch a lot more basketball.
This is your area. Who you got? Then I'll try to play off of
Brad Stevens.
Yeah, I mean that's the one that makes the most sense.
I think he's the best. Honestly, believe what I'm about to say. He's the best coach in the world today.
Brad Stevens.
In any sport.
Really?
I do. The job they've done in Boston this year is unbelievable, man.
Okay.
One took Butler.
Two championship games.
A ball bounced off the rim that would have won the national championship at Butler. Went out, built their entire offense around a new point guard and a new small forward. The small forward breaks his leg 6 minutes into the season. 6 minutes into the season.
I was watching.
And look where they are today.
Yeah.
And they play beautiful offense. It's amazing.
It's an interesting subject. Might carry it on tomorrow when we talk with Ryan Brown tomorrow. So put a pin in that. Now we're going to go with Ben Brown when we're talking to all the Browns this week. Again, Journey Biz Solutions. Stick with us for a minute. Really listen to this. I think it will help some of you guys out there. We appreciate you listening, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Ben Brown, the president and CEO of Journey Business Solutions Incorporated, joins us here on the podcast. Ben, thanks for being part of the podcast family for a while now. I appreciate you joining us.
Absolutely. Good morning, Neil and Chase.
All right. Tell me a little bit about how you started Journey Business Solutions, why you started it, a little bit about your background, how it all came about.
Yeah, absolutely. So I worked for a big bank for about 15 years and, you know, learned a lot about the industry, but realized that, you know, the bank doesn't always care about their customers. And we felt like we could do things a lot better in terms of providing better pricing to our customers, providing better products and service. And so Journey Business Solutions, we provide terminals and point of sale systems for our business owners to be able to accept credit card, debit card, and gift cards to take payments. And we started about a year and a half ago. It's been going extremely well, and just excited to continue to grow the business.
Give me an example for the people that are out there. I was telling you this the other day, kind of the layman who doesn't necessarily understand precisely what it is you're saying. Give me an example of a business that has used your service and they've benefited from it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, if you're a business owner and you want something simple, you just want a terminal, you want to save, you know, 25-30% off what you're paying right now, we can certainly help with that. But you know, just an example, there was a Rebel Grove podcast listener who they own a liquor store in the Pontotoc area. And, you know, they wanted something beyond just a terminal. They wanted the ability to help with their inventory, help with time tracking for their employees to be able to track their time when they come in, when they come out. So we provided them with a point of sale system that does all that. It fully integrates their payroll system. It gives them all that inventory tracking, which helps them to prevent fraud or prevent theft, as well as kind of the time tracking piece. So, you know, it helped them run their business more efficiently. We're saving them 25-30% off what they were paying before, and couldn't be more happy. You know, another good example is we've got a customer's restaurant bar, and, you know, they're kind of going the old school way of you know, had a terminal and they write up their tickets and send it over the kitchen, and order accuracy wasn't great. And, you know, it took too long to get customers in and out and to make their payment. And so we provided them with a point of sale system that does, you know, sends all that information to the kitchen. Order accuracy was much better. We do pay at the table. So, you know, people are getting out with their check a lot quicker and more efficient. So, you know, they couldn't be happier. And again, they were saving 25-30% over what they were paying before.
And you can service businesses pretty much anywhere, right?
That's right. So we're nationwide. We can work anywhere. We actually just opened two new markets here recently, looking to expand. But anywhere in the U.S., we can definitely help.
I know you at one point were kind of advertising career opportunities with Journey Business Solutions. If someone is interested in that, what do they need to do to get in touch with you?
Yeah, so we actually had a Rebel Grove listener who had a great career in sales and had been hearing about Journey Business Solutions through the podcast and, you know, had been meaning to kind of call. And his industry is kind of a dying industry, and he'd been doing great in sales, but his business that he was working for wasn't doing real well. And finally gave me a call and we spoke, and kind of interviewed him over the phone and heard about his success. And he was excited to hear about our products and the things that we can do to help small business owners and, you know, the training that we do. And he ended up joining our team here just recently, and the guy's just crushing it, just doing great. So, you know, if you're a guy who's got great sales experience and, you know, want the ability to maybe make more money or just be a part of something that's growing, it's in an amazing industry, yeah, definitely reach out. We're definitely hiring across the country.
And for people who are, whether it's that or whether they're interested in procuring your services, your point of sale, how do they get in touch with you, and where can they learn more?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can either call me at 443-935-5013 or email me at BenBrown@JourneyBizSolutions.com. So it's JourneyBizSolutions.com. And man, we'll get right back to you. And, you know, if there's anything that the Rebel Grove listeners take away from this, just doing business with somebody who cares, is part of the Ole Miss family, and, you know, versus some of these bigger banks that sort of treat you like a number, there's a big difference in quality and price, and man, we'll take care of you.
Well, Ben, really appreciate the time. Thanks for, again, for being a part of the podcast family with us, and we'll talk to you soon.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Ben.